to realize that the word worship is associated with such a dramatic moment and climatical moment in Abraham's life. This wasn't something simple with Abraham. This whole process was very difficult. And Abraham called all of this worship. And I believe that if we can look at the difference between praise and worship, and both of them is necessary and of utmost importance in our life. So this isn't about putting worship above praise. This is about talking about the difference between the two. That's all. Both of them are very important in our life. And what you will find is that 90% of what we call worship is really praise. And worship will truly come forth from you in the most difficult times of your life. You will learn to truly worship your Lord. Father, for the next few minutes, I pray that you touch my mind and help me with this message. I feel the urgency of your word tonight. And I'm heavy burdened with your word. And I pray, Lord, that before we leave here, that somehow we will get a hold of a revelation that the trials and the burdens that some of us are carrying, that somehow if we can realize, then we will understand that these are the moments of the greatest worship in our life. And Lord, if we're not careful, we'll let the devil rob us of that. And we'll spend time complaining when we could have had some of the greatest and sweetest moments with you. Help us to be like Abraham tonight. Help us to recognize our greatest trial as an opportunity to worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise is, it's just everywhere. It is part of nature. It is part of our nature. And it is in every creation of the Word of God. All of the creation of God. Even the rock. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if these people shut up, he said, the rocks will cry out. There is nothing that God made that wasn't made to praise him and to bring glory to his name. When we look at the word of the Lord in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Be glad. Now look at what he's naming here. The heaven, the earth. Let the sea roar. Let the fullness and the fullness thereof. Let the field. Now he's talking about the fields. Let the fields be joyful. And all that is therein. Then shall what? Then shall all the trees of the wood or of the forest rejoice. Psalms 148 and beginning with verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Everybody say praise. Say, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights or the mountains. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him. Look at this. Sun. Praise God, O sun. Praise God, moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, he says. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commandeth, and they were created. He put praise in everything. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. And then he says, let the fire praise him. Let the hail praise him. Let the snow praise him. Let the vapor praise him. Let the stormy wind praise him. Then he says, let the mountains and all the hills and the fruit trees and the cedars and the beasts and the cattle and the creeping things and the flying fowls and kings of the earth and all the people and the princes and all the judges of the earth, both young and men and maidens and old and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people and the praise of all of his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. I want to tell you, when it comes to praise, God let nothing go. He left nothing out. He ends this talking about his chosen people and the saints. But before that, he was just talking about the princes and the kings and the people and the old and the young. God saying, I don't care who you are or where you are or what you're doing, whether you're living for me or not living for me, you owe me praise. And it also lets me know that anybody can praise God. Anybody and anything can praise God. Praising God is simply recognizing who he is. And praising God is just giving him glory. And you can name all kinds of attributes and characteristics about God. And praise him for his mercy. And praise him for his goodness. And praise him for his might. And praise him for his healing. And praise him for his provision. And God does these things for everybody. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And he says, if a bird flies and God sees when it falls to its death, how much more does he know about you? That's not just talking about the saints of God. God knows the number of the hairs upon every man's head on this planet. He knows the alcoholic that is in the alley, the drug addict that's hiding in the house. He knows the harlot who's selling her body upon the bed. He knows the murderer in the prison. He knows all of these things. He has created them. He made them. And they are all demanded to give praise to him. And they can give praise to him. They not only have that right and have that command, but they have that ability. Whether they're living for God or not. The most horrible sinner in the world can walk out his door and lift his hands and say, what a wonderful day God has created. He might not be living for him, but he can recognize him and he can give praise to him. The Bible tells us when the wind blows and the trees move that they are praising God. When the waves lap upon the ocean, you and I, we go upon the beach and stand there and we watch the waves as they relentlessly just come in constantly over and over through the years and the eons of time. They have been lapping upon that beach and all we see is beautiful waves, but God up in heaven sees an ocean that is praising Him and giving Him glory. And in the middle of the mighty storm, you and I run for fear. But on the mighty storm, the waves just get bigger. The praise just goes higher. And the psalmist said that the stormy winds of the sea, they're just giving God glory. Even the wind understands that every once in a while, there's an exuberant praise. I mean, it just calmly blows here and there, gives a little praise to the Lord. But every once in a while, it just takes a deep breath, if you please, and it begins to howl and turn and blow and give praise to its King. So all of creation is involved in praise. Tell your neighbor, anyone can praise God. And then tell someone else, everyone should praise God. Praise is not an option. We are commanded to praise Him. We should get in the habit of praising God for everything. Everything that we have. Everything that we possess. And we should get into the habit of praising God for everything we lose. Amen. God said He'll provide your need. If He thought you needed it, you wouldn't have lost it. He's pretty sure you can do without it. Amen. So we have to learn to praise God as we say it in the good times and praise Him in the bad times. We got to praise Him when things are coming in and we got to praise Him when things are going out. And that wave praises Him when it's coming in and it praises Him when it's going out. The wind praises Him when it blows to the east and it praises Him when it blows to the west. The tree praises Him when it sways this way, but it's praising Him when it sways that way. Every movement of nature is a praise to God. So let everything that happens in our life be a praise to God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to learn to praise Him in everything that's in my life. Everywhere that I go, everything I gain, everything I lose, I'm going to give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Somebody shout praising. We look into nature, the rose blossoms. It is giving praise to the King, all in the things of nature. Praise is mandatory. It's so mandatory in nature and in the creation, mandatory in the creating of the human race, that in Luke 19 and 40, as I said to you earlier, when Jesus had His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they were throwing the palm leaves down before Him, and the people were running about the donkey that He was on, and they were shouting praises to Him and glorifying Him. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the elites of the day said, "Don't you hear these people praising you? You should shut that off, because praises only belong to God. They don't belong to man." And Jesus looked at them and He said, "I'm telling you," in verse number 40 says, "And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Praise is mandatory. And praise is continual, not only with nature, but it's continual with the angelic host. Revelation chapter 4 in verse number 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so the scripture makes it plain to us that praise is always. And then it lets us know that the day will come that every man will praise him. Philippians chapter 10 and verse chapter 2 and verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in the heavens, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we're either going to praise him now or we're going to praise him later. But I'm going to tell you, you were made to praise him. And you're going to praise him. You're not going to get away with it. The vilest sinner, the atheist who will never give a word of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not getting away with anything. There will come a time when he will bow before him and he will give adoration and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know about you. I think I just want to do it right now. I want to give him a little praise right now. I want him to know that I praise him. I love him. I adore him. I magnify him. He is my God. My heart does exalt him. I recognize him as my Lord and my King. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the mighty, 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 mighty name of the Lord. And so praise is for everyone. Praise is for everyone. And praise can be given by everyone. And praise should be given by everyone. Praise is very important in our life. It's praise that gives us strength every day. When we get up and we begin to walk and we get God on our mind and we will begin to praise him. And God, you're good. God, you're merciful. Something begins to happen in your life. You'll give the Lord Jesus Christ praise. You have a need. You'll praise him for providing your need. You have a sickness. You'll praise him for being your healer. Whatever the situation is, you'll just give God praise. And praise gives us strength. I can't make it through the day without praising God. I want to tell you, if I go through a day and I don't open my mouth to give God praise, I know about it by the end of the day. There's just something missing on the inside of my heart. I'm just not the same. I've got to give praise to my God. So don't ever lose the praise that is in your mouth. Don't ever lose the song that is in your heart. Learn to give God praise continually, to love him. Praise. Say praise is for everyone. Say everyone should praise. And so every man and woman ever created ought to praise God, whether they serve him or not. They have a right and they are commanded to praise him, whether they are living for him or not. At least the trees and nature understands this. When the lion opens his mouth, he's given praise to God. Every sound, when the cricket rubs his little legs together in the evening, he's given praise to God. In the morning, when the bird opens its mouth and begins to sing its song, he's given praise to God. It's through everything you touch, everything you know has been created to give God praise. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, worship is not for the weak. The weak will probably never truly understand what worship is. They break before they ever reach it. Worship is a deep walk with God. Now, please, as I begin to get in worship just for a few minutes, I'm not going to hold us much longer. Please do not think one is more important than the other. You cannot survive without either. Praise keeps you going every day. But there are experiences in your life that if we will somehow get the revelation, I told a preacher not long ago when he was talking to me about this crazy situation. And, that we have gone through here in the church. And I was talking to him on the phone, and he said something concerning the devil. And I said, I'm going to stop you right now. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you think for a moment that I think that the devil did this, then I might as well close my Bible, pack my suitcase, and go home. Because that means God has no power in my life. My prayer has no power. That means I'm just a loser and I can't ever win. And I said, let me tell you something. Everything happening in my life, I believe with all my heart, is directed of God Almighty. I believe that. I walk in that. I understand the attack of the devil and all of these things like this, and he can attack us and certainly make us do dumb things. But I'm here to tell you the destiny of my life and the path of my life is drawn out by God himself, and the devil has no power over it. And as long as I get up every day and give praise to Jesus Christ, God is in control of my life. I told him, said, shut up. You're going to talk to me. You talk about God. I'm not interested in the devil. He doesn't control my life. I'm not here to praise him. I'm not going to brag on the devil. I'm not going to give the devil credit for nothing. And if he did do it, he ain't going to get credit about it from me. So maybe he'll stop messing with me and go get credit somewhere else. But worship is not for the weak of heart. It's not for the faint of heart. Worship is something that's entirely different from praise. Praise is something that flows from us on a daily basis. It's our everyday relationship. It's like being married. You know, every day me and Elizabeth tell one another that we love one another. Every day I kiss her. Every day I hold her. Our kids hate us. They can't walk in the kitchen without seeing me and Elizabeth hugging one another in the kitchen. And I walked in today and she was cooking and I slapped her, won't tell you where, and I said, girl, you look good. That's every day. Now that's praise. Worship takes place somewhere else. But let me tell you something. I'd never get to worship if I didn't praise her during the day. Sorry for the example, but it works. So don't think that praise is not important to God. Praise is that daily relationship. Praise is when you get up and give God a hug in the morning. Praise is kissing him every day. Praise is walking with him and telling him how much you love him and how great he is. My Lord have mercy. But if you praise God long enough, and if you praise God often enough, there's going to come those intimate moments with you and God that nothing will ever replace. There'll be times with God when it'll go past praise and the glory of God will come upon you and you and God will be in that place that nothing on this planet can ever, ever match up to. But you can't have one without the other. However, you and I both know also that many times it is the difficult things in our marriage that brings us closer. It's the hard times. It's when you push through the tough times that brings a man and a woman even closer. Learn one another. Become one in that relationship. It's when you see your spouse laying on the bed and not sure whether they're going to rise up or not. And God raises them up because he's a great God. That you appreciate them more and more. And it grows deeper and deeper and deeper. Sister Powell, it's losing the four, but getting the fifth one. Or the three and getting the fourth one. I'm not really sure. It doesn't matter. We just got him, right? Or her, or whatever it is. Human. Is it a boy or a girl? It's a girl. Okay. I'll marry her one day and figure it out. How's that? In Jesus' name. But it's when we get that one that, and then God just has a way of bringing us together. Abraham had an understanding of this. Here in the word of the Lord, the first time the word worship is ever mentioned, we've got Abraham being asked of God to sacrifice Isaac. And it wasn't Abraham that said it. It was God that said it. God looked at Abraham and he said, I want you to sacrifice your son, the one you love, your only begotten son. It was God who reminded Abraham that this seed, Isaac, is the only one that I gave you. Now, I know you got a couple others floating around, but that was your business. But the promised seed God was talking about, the one that I gave you, he said, you're only. It was God that reminded Abraham of this. And God was reaching down into the life of Abraham and getting him by the hand. And he was saying, come on, we're going to take a journey together. You've been praising me for a long time. I came to you and I asked you to leave your land. You left it. Leave your family. You left it. Leave your job. You left it. Leave your security. You left it. And we've been walking through the wilderness, and you've been praising me and telling everybody, and I've been blessing you and been doing great things. But Abraham, me and you, we're going to go into a session of worship. We're going to get closer than we've ever been before. You've known me as the provider. You know me as your healer. You know me as your caretaker. I've been there for you through everything, Abraham. But Abraham, you're about to know me deeper than you have ever known me. You and I are about to get so close, Abraham, that nothing will ever tear us apart. Well, you're about to understand who I am and what I'm about, greater than any praise or blessing or anything I could just do for you. Now, Abraham, that any of that would ever accomplish. And come on, Abraham, I got a journey for you. I want you to take your son by the hand, and I want you to bring him to a mountain. And there, Abraham, I'm going to show you where, and you're going to go up, and you are going to sacrifice Isaac, the one that you love. You're going to sacrifice him in the mountain in which I tell you to go. And so Abraham takes his boy, the wood and the fire. He has his servants and the donkeys, and they make their way. And finally, Abraham sees the mountain afar off, and he turns to the others that are with him. You see, the journey of praise can have as much company as you want. The journey of praise usually is surrounded by all kinds of people. We come to church and we praise God together. We talk about God's goodness together. But Abraham knew that this journey of worship, that nobody could come. He turned and said, y'all stay here, but me and Isaac, we're going to go yonder and worship God. I hate to tell you this, but your deepest experience of God and God are going to be the most lonely times of your life. God has a way of removing everything else out of your life. He has a way of removing friends and family and job and work and things and relationships. And we just feel and seem all alone. Why? Because God doesn't want anybody there but you and him. Nobody else is welcomed into this room, because this is about you and this is about him. And it is about your relationship between the two, and going deeper and stronger in him than you have ever been. Isaac has the wood. He has the fire. Abraham has Isaac by the hand, and he begins to make his way. What you're going to find out about worship is that it has three dimensions. The first dimension is surrender. Everybody say surrender. Abraham's journey with understanding that he was surrendering his hope. He was surrendering his future. He was surrendering his dreams. He was surrendering his security. When he was giving up Isaac, he was giving up everything. He was already 100 years old when he had Isaac. And now he's even older. He's 117. He knows it's impossible now. He was giving up everything. When you enter into the arena of worship, you are willing to lay aside everything. How do I know if I truly become a worshiper of God? How
How do I know if I've gone beyond praise? I'll tell you how. Nothing on this earth, nothing that you have, nothing that you've earned, nothing that you've bought, nothing that you've made matters anymore. If I lose it all, I just want Jesus. When you can truly reach the place like Job, when you said, I came into this world naked, I'm going to leave this world naked, and if God takes everything he gave me, that's perfectly fine. I want him. He is what matters to me.
I want to tell you, when a man and woman is really in love, they're happy in a small hut on the backside of nowhere without running water or electricity. They're as happy there as they would be in a mansion. They're happy whether they have a nice car or an old piece of junk. They're happy whether they've got a lot of food or wondering where their next meal's coming from. When a man and woman are in love with one another, what really matters to them is they have one another and they're with one another and they'll help one another and they'll care for one another. They've gone beyond dating. They're now in love. They're intimate. They're in worship. And God is calling us to a deeper walk with him. And some of you are struggling right now. Some of you are facing things that is overwhelming you. I'm telling you, God is calling you into an experience of worship.
He wants to know, he wonders, are you willing to leave it all behind? Are you willing to lay it all down? Dimension one. Dimension two is obedience. That no matter what he asks, I'm going to do it. I don't mean that there might not be a little bit of complaining, but I mean, even Jesus said in a parable, he said, if the master came or the father came and asked one of his sons to go do something and the son complained and he went off and stumped off, said, I ain't going to do it, and just complained and got mad, but later went and did it. And he asked the other son to do it, and the other said, oh, yes, father. Yes, my father. I will do it right away, my father. And he goes out and never accomplish it. The Lord says, which one of these were obedient to the father? Well, the one that went out and done the job, even though he complained and griped and murmured. So I'm not saying that obedience is this perfect individual that doesn't question or wonder or complain or get down or sad or whatever. But obedience is when no matter how much it hurts or how difficult it is or how little you understand, you continue to go down the path. You continue to follow him every day. It's step number two of having an experience of worship with the Lord. And the final, of course, is going to be sacrifice. And sacrifice is the key component where you're willing to yield to God all of these things. Abraham said that the child and I, we're going to go to the place that God shows us. Or God says to Abraham, excuse me, he said, take the child and go. Doesn't tell him right away. He says, just go. And he says, and then I will tell you the place. I will show you where I want you to go. I wonder why the Lord didn't just tell him right up front. Well, probably because Abraham knew the shortcut. And if God would have said, this mountain over here, Mount Moriah, Abraham would have went, shh. He knew how to get there as the bird flew. But that wasn't the path God wanted him to take. And so he took him round, and finally, the mountain here, go yonder to the place in which God showed. I'm going to tell you, God has your place of worship picked out. He's not going to let you pick it. Because we know us, don't we? We'd pick it on a feather pillow with satin sheets to lie on. That's what we'd do. That's like, I wonder about these songs today. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason why we still love singing Amazing Grace. There's a reason why all these old songs, every time you sing them, the the pillars of the church. The congregation gets stirred and moved because those songs were born out of adversity. They were born out of hardship. They were created when men had lost their children, lost their wives. They were created when difficulties had come into these men's lives, and some out of war and other places and reasons and purposes. And these songs were written out of blood and sweat, but yet they were men that kept walking with God and praising God. And they penned these songs as the Spirit would move through them. And now hundreds of years later, we get up and sing them, and tears begin to flow down our cheeks. And we lift our hands and worship God because the Spirit knows where that song came from. It knows the sacrifice that caused it to be born and the level of worship that was created for it to come out. And it moves us. But today they lay their head on their soft pillows and they write these surface little songs that they get up and sing, these little lightheaded praise. And true people of God, people who have had experiences in the Lord, we may clap our hands to them and we may sing them, but they don't ever really do anything for us because it needs to be born out of adversity. God knows He has already picked the place of worship for you. I come to tell you, don't fight your battle, don't fight your circumstance. Why don't you just let go of it right now? Why don't you quit struggling with it and just let it go and say, okay, God, if this is the path, then it's the path. And Lord, I'm going to stop long enough to stop complaining and stop being wrapped up in the hard things. And God, I'm going to realize this is a moment of worship in my life. This is a time in my life when I can get closer to You than I've ever been. I'm going to know You better than I've ever known You. And when I come out of this, God. My Lord, have mercy. He has your place picked out for you. Some of you may already be in it. I mean, God, and you know what? I'm glad it's Him that chooses it, because the word of the Lord says that He knows how much I can bear. He knows what I can take. He knows the mountain I'm able to climb. He knows the sacrifice I'm able to give. He knows what I can handle. And God loves us, and He's trying to bring us into this place of worship. And so Abraham told the men, he said, I want you to stay behind. Now, there was a couple ingredients here, Isaac and the wood and the fire. So Isaac is carrying the wood, representing dead things, things that are dried up, things that have been dead for a long time, something that burns easily, something that can be consumed. These are the issues and the questions and the things in our life that are already dead. And we all have wood. We all walk around carrying a little bit of wood. Burdens that God wanted us to lay down a long time ago. Trials that the Lord wanted us to walk out of a long time ago. Problems and situations and sicknesses and temptations. The Lord says, take your wood and bring it into the arena of worship. I want to tell you, if you have a problem, if you have a situation, you have a difficulty, don't leave it out of the arena of worship. If you'll bring it into the arena of worship, then the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn it up. It'll turn it into a pile of ashes. And when you're in the middle of your worship with God, all of a sudden the wood that looked so great and heavy and mighty is now going to be this little pile of ashes. I remember a couple of days ago, we was at Mom's up in Alabama, and a tornado came through last year, I think it was, Swee, something like that, and ripped up a lot of trees and stuff and houses, and it was pretty bad. Y'all remember when that happened not too long ago. And so they had a lot of trees, and they pawed them up, drug them over, and there was this big ditch way, way in the back by the pond, and Robert had used a machine. He pawed it up, so he's going to burn it. So we go out there, and there's this huge, gigantic pile of wood. and Caleb and Luke and Joel is down there with us. And so we light it and we get it burning, and it burns and burns and burns, and we pile it more. And so Joel leaves, goes back up into the house, and comes back later on, a few hours later, and Joel comes down and he's looking at the pile, and he said, "Where'd all the wood go?" I said, "Son, look down in that ditch." And he looked down in the ditch, and there was this pile of ashes. I said, "That's that wood." He said, "You mean that mountain of wood, all of them, that's it right there, that little old pile of ashes. Friend, when you take your problems and bring it into the fire of worship, my God, have mercy. He's got a way." The Holy Ghost has a way of turning your insurmountable trouble and problems and pressure and bring it into a little pile of ashes. Worship will give you a different perspective on your situation. Worship will change the way you look at things. It'll change the way you perceive things. It'll turn fear into faith. It'll turn doubt into security. It'll turn your unconsciousness or your inability to understand into understanding and wisdom. God will do these things for you. Worship will do this for you. Carry the wood with you. Bring the fire with you when you go into this. And bring the knife. Now, the wood represented the dead things, but the knife represented the live things. See, the knife was designed to cut away and to kill that which was living. And so God says, don't forget the knife when you come into worship, because when you get into worship with me, we're going to cut some things away. And you're going to lose some spiritual pounds when you learn how to worship. Because things that you used to carry around, you're not going to carry around anymore. You're just going to lay that stuff down. You're just going to throw that off to the side. You're not dumb enough to know it went away. You know it didn't go away, but you learned in worship you were stupid for carrying it. And God's going to take care of it, and he's going to do it in his time. And he's going to do it in his way. He said, "Abraham, I'm going to tell you the mountain that you're going to worship on when I get good and ready to tell you the mountain that you're going to worship on. You get your sacrifice and you start walking in the direction that I've given you. And when I get ready, I'll tell you where it's at." And so the Lord, he's going to take care of all of these things for us. And God is trying to teach us to quit carrying around dead wood and bring the fire into our worship and take the knife and cut off some of the things of the flesh. Cut off fear, cut off doubt, cut off anxiety, cut off worry, cut off all these things that we carry around with us. When you get in that arena of worship and get that new understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and that deeper walk with God, these things are just going to be laid off aside. You're not going to carry them around anymore. You're not going to let them burden you down and weigh you down. People are going to come up to you and say, "How can you worship God knowing your situation? How can you be joyful knowing your situation?" I'll tell you how. You made your way into worship. You let the dilemma, you let the situation, you let the condition bring you into a place of worship. And instead of bickering and complaining and talking and worrying, you used it to be a catalyst to bring you in the presence of God. And in the middle of that worship, God took that load off for you, and now you know. I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know God's going to take care of it, and I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm here to praise him. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to work for him. So we have to praise. We can't let praise go. But we have to enter into the place of worship where we learn to burn the dead things in our life and stop carrying these unnecessary burdens, where we learn to truly lay everything down that we love before the Lord Jesus Christ and give it to him. and where we learn to bring the knife to cut off some things that we've been allowing to stay in our life that is interfering between me and God. You see, the Lord, He didn't take Isaac. He let Abraham keep Isaac. He just wanted to know, would Abraham give up Isaac? See, God don't mind you having things as long as somewhere in your life you've proven to Him that things will never come between you and Him. That He will always be first in your life. And that any moment He asks for you to give up this or give up that or this or that, then so be it. And you say, well, you know, the Lord does that in different ways. He may actually move on your heart and let you do it, or He may just step into your life and rip it off. There's no difference. It's still God saying, hey, I'd like for you to give this up. And we have to be in that place to where we don't condemn and blame God. And we all know people when bad things come. Now, I realize that sometimes there may be a moment of blaming, but I'm talking about when bad things come and the heart is hardened and God is cursed and He is blamed. That person had never entered the arena of worship. He or she had never reached the place where there was nothing in their life more important than God. There are people sitting in this congregation tonight that have lost children. Explain that one. How do you explain to me God taking one of my children? What could He possibly gain from that? But they are still sitting on these seats. They are still lifting their hands. They are still praising the Lord Jesus Christ because somewhere's back in their life, they found a little room called worship. And there they burned the wood. And there they gave the sacrifice. And the knife cut off the old flesh. And when they walked out of this place that God chose, when they walked out of that, nothing was more important to them than Him. And no matter what comes into their life, He will always be praised. He will always be loved. And now the tough situations and the difficult times, they have learned all that is another opportunity to worship. It's another opportunity to step out of praise and step into worship and learn my God in a brand new way like I've never known Him. And experience Him. God bless you. Let's stand. I've gone longer than I wanted to. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't this what it's all about? That when my life comes to an end, I will have proven for my life what was that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God in my life. And that means presenting my body as a living sacrifice. It means being willing to lay down whatever it is that I have to lay down in order to walk this path. But at the end of my life, I want the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So Abraham showed us what it meant to worship. It meant taking that which you love more than anything else and carrying it before God and pulling the knife and saying, okay. Now we know his faith. I and the child will return.
The Bible tells us in the New Testament that Abraham believed that if he took the life of Isaac, God would raise him up again. And so we know these things are true. But I'm here to tell you that I believe that if Abraham would have took his life and God would have not raised him, that Abraham had found the place that he'd have praised him anyhow. And in his last dying breath, he would have loved him. When we look at the patriarchs, when Jacob lost Joseph, and we know the hurt and the pain, and Jacob said, you know, all this was meant for evil. We know the story and the storyline. But Jacob never stopped loving his God. He had learned to worship him in those 21 years with Laban, when he went through all the valleys and the troubles. He had entered the worship of arena when he crossed over that river of Jabbok. And there he wrestled with God until the morning. And God changed his name to Israel. He learned how to worship God. And no matter what he lost, it may have hurt and it may have been painful, but he had experienced worship with his King. And so tonight, if we can take anything away from this little lesson, let's take this with us. That if I am going through a situation, if I am facing things, somehow help me, oh God, to take this trial and this difficulty and to walk into an arena of worship. I want to tell you, just a couple of days ago, something happened. And I know I've got you standing. If you get tired, you can be seated. But I really am closing. A couple of days ago, I got a letter in the mail. And the letter basically said that the bank was going to pursue us for the difference. So the people bought our land for $3 million. That means we owe $2.2 million. And $1.5 million in back interest, $4 million. And they were going to pursue us for it. So I took the letter and I folded it up. Did it bother me? Yeah. But I put it on the desk. And I said, Lord, you have brought us this far. This letter doesn't worry me. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to be bothered by it. I'm going to worship you in it. By that same afternoon, I had a phone call from Vance that said, Pastor, it was a clerical error. When they put the money in, they forgot to close the account. And so the computer automatically generated the letter and sent it to you. But we want you to know the account's closed. And they're not pursuing anything. Everything's done. Everything's finished. And I said, well, thank you, Vance. I appreciate that. And I hung up. I didn't shout. I didn't run. I didn't jump. Because I had already given that to the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew he had that under control. And we have got to get in the place that no matter what we face, we say, God, this is just going to be another moment for worship with me and you. I don't know how you're going to get me through this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome it. This hurts more than anything ever hurt me in all of my life. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But God, I'm just going to take this, and this is going to be a moment of worship between me and you. I'm going to let this bring me closer to you, God, than I have ever been in all of my life. Lord, I'm going to get to know you better than I have ever known you. I'm going to know you as the healer. I'm going to know you as the comforter. I'm going to know you as the one that lifts me up when I'm down. I'm going to know you as the keeper of my life. I'm going to know you as the controller of my destiny, God. I'm going to know you, Lord. I'm going to use this as worship. Let's begin to do that right now, will you? I want you to take a situation that you're going through right now, and I want you to tell God, God, I'm going to take this situation, and I'm going to turn it into worship with me and you. God, I'm going to burn the wood. I'm not going to carry it around anymore. I'm going to cut things off. I'm going to lay this down. I'm going to sacrifice it unto you. I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. And I'm just going to learn to worship you. I'm going to worship you in my situation. Worship you in my dilemma. Worship you in my trouble. God, it's going to bring us closer. Lord, we're going to become intimate with one another. We're going to learn to love one another deeper and greater. I'm going to be stronger in you than I've ever been. Oh God, that's what this situation is going to do for me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I promise you, that's what Joseph did. That's what Joseph did when he was in the pit. That's what Joseph did when he was in the prison. I'm not going to let it get to me, God. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to interpret dreams. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to act like I'm supposed to act, God. I'm going to be a child of God. And God raised him up. And God used the situation to bring him higher than anything else ever could. I'm here to tell you, if you'll turn it into worship, God will use it to elevate you. He will use it to lift you up. He will use it as ministry in your life if you'll turn it into worship. If you'll turn it into worship. If you'll turn it into worship. I hope somebody's hearing Pastor tonight. If you'll turn it into worship. I didn't say it didn't hurt. I didn't say it wasn't hard. I understand it's difficult. Sometimes it seems like it'll never end. But it's just a lengthened time of praise and worship with my God. I'm going to turn it into worship. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Next. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Amen. Next time something hits you hard and difficult, you just say, well, it's time for worship. And you're going through something, you just say, we're going to turn this into worship. I'm going to let this push me into the presence of God instead of draw me away. Amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed. Thank you for being faithful to Wednesday night. I hope that I see you in prayer tomorrow night at 7 o'clock out on the property. God bless you.